All right, good morning to you all. Good to see all of you. We are in CE Hour going through this book with the adults, and they do have these on Media Gratia. You can get them on there. You can also find them on eBay. Amazon is sold out because all of you bought them already, I guess. I don't know. But this book is going to help us understand a little bit better how the Scripture expresses knowing God, how we can know Him for who He is. And it's already, I hope we've been challenged. I know the young people are going through this on Wednesday, and I know all of us are growing there. And so I anticipate the same thing happening in our CE hour. Pardon?
What's the full title?
Knowing the Living God. By a really quiet, meek, mild-mannered man by the name of Paul David Washer. What's that? Yeah, I would encourage you to just listen to one sermon from Paul Washer and you realize how quiet I am. So, Romans chapter 5 is where we're at. Romans chapter 5. We are all the way down. We've been studying. By the way, how many understand that he has been talking to Jews and Gentiles? You look at chapter 4 and it's all about the Jews. I mean, the whole passage is. That's important to understand because within the context, here's the downfall of expository preaching is you go through these verses and we're so focused on the verses, we forgot what happened 2 months ago. I can't remember what happened yesterday, let alone 2 months ago, so it's difficult to put the whole thing in context. That's why we read the book or that passage of chapter 5 this morning. But we need to understand that he is talking to both Jews and Gentiles. The Jews still have this air about them that they're the only ones. How many understand that? Because they've got the law, it's all them. And so today is going to be important to understand that as we go through this text, because if you're going to read this text literally the way it is written, without the context, you will be, by the time you leave this room, a universalist. How many understand that term? Twice in this passage of Scripture, Paul is equating Abraham to Christ in a certain sense. Just like, and we will get to it, but I want to give you the heads up, because we are not universalists. The Bible is not universalist. So, but we need to understand the context, otherwise we would become a universalist. So it's very important we understand this. What Paul is going to do is he's going to say, less like sin entered the world through Adam. And through Adam, every single person was hit by that sin. And because of that sin, we sin. Because of the sin that we're born in, we literally sin. And he expresses that very clearly. We've been preaching on that the last 2 weeks. The reason he brought that up is because just like Adam's issues infected the human race, Christ also infected the human race. And not infected, but affected. One was infected, one's affected. How many get that? And so he's going to try to express how that when Adam sinned, we all sinned. And when Jesus Christ lived a righteous life, if we would put our faith and trust in him, we lived a righteous life. And so he's going to, there are similarities, but there's also contrasting issues. Most people want to focus on the contrasts. I don't believe that's what Paul's trying to express here. He's trying to express the truth that, yeah, we understand that we're sinners because of our great-great-granddaddy. We get that. We know that. Well, get that truth in your head, because Jesus Christ did the same thing. It's not your righteousness that will save you. It's His righteousness that saves you. And His righteousness is given to you at the moment of faith. And that's what he's trying to express. That's the similarity there. So, we will... How many got an overview? Kind of, sort of. And that's what we're going to be dealing with this morning in this passage of Scripture. The Garden of Eden. We're going to go all the way back there, because who goes back there? Adam. So... Paul is bringing to their forefront of the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was designed to be a glorification to God Almighty, period. The Garden of Eden was to glorify God, but instead of ruling the world for God, which Adam was supposed to do, sin and death entered the whole world through Adam's selfishness. Adam's pride, Adam's sin. And the hope of humanity was absolutely lost. And all of Adam's descendants entered the world under this master of death and sin, under the auspices of death and sin, under the control of death and sin. And there was no way out for them personally. Let's go through quickly verses 15 through 19. Explain why believers are so confident despite the havoc wrought by Adam. The parenthesis found in verses 13 to 14 comes to an end in this text with the assertion that Adam functions as a type of Christ. And we use this word type of Christ. You could put Adam exemplified Christ in this manner. And here's the manner he exemplified Christ. What he did affected many. And that's, so many times we get this typified, and it is true that things and people typified Christ throughout the whole Scripture. But what's better is not that Adam typified Christ, but the way Adam infected the whole world typifies Christ. That specific aspect. Does that make sense? Just like... David typified Christ. There are certain aspects that David did that typified Christ. Not certainly his whole life. And there's a difference there. But anyways, verse 15 through 19 express this assertion. He is a type in that, like Christ, he functioned as the head of all humanity. How does Christ typify the head of all humanity? Folks, the whole world was created, all human beings, in the image of God. Amen. We were. There is a typification, there is a Christ type with Adam affecting all of humanity and Christ all humanity. But these verses emphasize the similarities of Adam and Christ, and they also bring to the forefront the contrast between Adam and Christ. And we're going to be doing that this morning. Now, how many say it's hard to do the similarities and contrasts all in one time? It's very difficult. But we're going to try to do that this morning. Lord willing, we will be able to understand the truths that God has us to understand. That's why we're preaching it this morning. The rule over the world that Adam lost is now restored in Christ. That really is the truth of this whole passage. The rule of over the world that Adam lost, Christ restored. In essence, and I like to say it this way, we have been re-imaged. We have gotten that back. What was to take place in the Garden of Eden is now taking place in your heart and life. That's the idea of what's going on. You see, God's plan was the Garden of Eden. How many are sick and tired of all the bad stuff going on in this world? I mean, look at the hurricanes and the rumbles and the mountains falling and the tsunamis and the parties. And you can go on and on of all the nastiness in the world, and we look and say, how can God do that? God didn't do that. Sin did that. Sin did that. How many of you, just think of this, how many of you ever played with the little people? We talked about this. Or little soldiers. Or, I know Mr. Zarin's working on this, and I love to do this, but I don't have room, nor do I have time. Unfortunately, and I'm taking too much time from Tim now, but the H.O. Railroad setup. How many have ever seen that? That's so cool. I mean, you get this little thing, they actually have engines that poof, 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 poof. And they got all these, it's so cool, you get all that done. How many have seen those and how beautiful they are? You've been to how many have ever been to Disney World or planning to go to Disney World at some time in your life? Okay, don't ever go to It's a Small World. You will never get it out of your mind, but that's what's going on. There's all this stuff going on in there, and it's all pretty and beautiful. It's like you made it all. Just take that and submerge it under 100 feet of water. How's that going to look like then?